kinds of nationalism and nationality, Jesus had compassion for everyone. Now, I can think, I like adverts, you might gather. I can think of another advert. This advert was for British Telecom. And it begins with the physicist Stephen Hawking in his wheelchair on the top of the White Cliffs of Dover, looking out across the English Channel. And we're shown the world and its peoples. We see the wreckage of war. We see burnt out tanks and ruined buildings. And Stephen Hawking, through his mechanical, computer-produced voice, tells us that we need to talk to each other. Well, presumably, we're going to use the BT network. But if we're going to avoid misunderstanding and war, he says we have to talk to each other. And the voiceover says, it's good to talk. Well, barriers are broken down through communication, through listening, through sharing what we've learnt about life with other people. We need to learn about our neighbours. We need to love them and we need to give ourselves to them. We need to dismantle our walls through communication, through listening, through sharing experiences and understanding. Now, if the Chinese had done that, then maybe they wouldn't have had to build a wall in the first place. They might have begun to understand the fears of those outside the wall, and of course, their own fears. And then they might have gone on to share their understanding of life and civilization and science and arts. And in that way, they might even have converted or civilized their neighbors. Our calling as Christians is to share Jesus as we've come to know him, as we've experienced him. The central theme of Ephesians chapter 2 is that Jesus has destroyed the division, the enmity between peoples and between people and God. And by doing this, he's created one human race, which is what God created in the first place, bringing us all together as one humanity. The Gentiles are brought near to God in Christ. And Paul pictures the middle wall in the temple being torn down. Because the temple in Jerusalem had a series of courts. There was the court of the Gentiles, then there was the court of the women, then there was the court of the Israelites, then there was the court of the priests, and then there was the Holy of Holies. And the Gentiles, when they came into the temple, they faced a solid stone wall with notices pronouncing instant death if they dared to go beyond that wall. But Matthew records that when Jesus died on the cross, the temple curtain between the court of the priests and the Holy of Holies was torn from top to bottom so that everyone might have access to God through the death of Christ. But of course, then the question strikes home, doesn't it, when we consider, do we exclude other people from God by our judgments of their beliefs? Or by our embarrassment and discomfort with the things that they say or do? Is there our failure to take risks, to trust God's will and God's judgment? Do we put up barriers and boundaries and say, no, you can't pass. You've got to have fulfilled these particular rules that we have set down. Christ is our peace. We say the peace to each other. At our Eucharistic services. It's the common love of Christ that people come to love each other as family. It's in the love of the cross that we find reconciliation, as we are loved and accepted, and God calls us to go and love and accept everyone else. So how did Jesus break down the barriers? Well, he broke them down in his own crucified body, in his death. A new people were created. He gave himself completely to all peoples of all races and all religions. He shared with all people that he met his experience of his Heavenly Father, the truth about God, and the new possibilities that they were to experience. They could experience the fullness of life as God had planned it. And to do this, Jesus went to people where they were. He interested himself in their lives, in their joys and their fears, their illnesses and even in their deaths. And rather than building walls, Jesus took risks. He gave himself to all people, and as a result, he was misunderstood. He was misrepresented and eventually killed as a troublemaker. Of course, he could have behaved differently, couldn't he? He could have kept quiet. He could have talked only to those who were sympathetic, only to those who agreed with everything that he said. Or, of course, when people disagreed with him, what he could have done would have been to modify what he was saying. He could have made it easier to accept. But if he'd done that, he would have left those people safe and secure behind their walls, behind their narrow religious and nationalistic walls, and the world, including all of us here, beyond the walls, would have remained ignorant of the life-transforming love of God. New life and acceptance is through faith in Christ crucified, not through ritual, not through being in the right church, not through nationhood, not through keeping the moral law, because God creates something new. There is the sovereign act of the creation of a new humanity in Christ. The world is still made up of women and men, slaves, free people, Jews, Gentiles, but inequality before God has been abolished. It is the peace, the forgiveness, and the new life that unites all people in Christ. There is no need to erect any walls. To break down the walls between us and others, I believe we'll need to learn to value the experiences of other people, whether they're Christians or not. It'll mean asking questions about ours and others' personal experience of life and of what they believe in terms of God. And then, from that point, start building understanding through ways of listening and talking and actually discovering that God acts in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of places, through all sorts of people. His desire is to transform the lives of all people. The key words for us are trust and love. Trusting God and loving everybody that we meet. Of course, we could follow the advice of the insurance companies. We could seek to protect what is our own. We could erect the barricades. We could live in the comfortable security of our faith in Jesus, our church's own particular expression of the gospel and of worship, which we find comfortable. But of course, that will leave us, at best, with a defensive position of safety. At worst, it will place us in a state of enmity and war with those who have different beliefs and different expressions of Christianity, as I've got a face in the church I'm going to with their choir and their organ and their music group and their drums. Jesus died to break down the barriers. We should seek to bring to a waiting world an understanding of the life, love, value, and purpose that God has for us as we see it in the cross of Christ. We have so much to offer a world without Christ. Community, that's something that many people desperately look for. An understanding of life and the world. We understand, we can make sense of the world in which we live. But most of all, we have our hope in God's purposes and God's promises. Maybe, carefully, when astronauts next look down at the world, maybe it will reveal a growing harmony, a growing trust that has been brought about by understanding, listening, talking, loving, and reaching out hands of welcome and acceptance to those who are different from us. Paul, in the verses before the passage we heard, says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do the works which God prepared in advance for us to do, to bring transformation to a broken world. May we be that people.